The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, what a delight it is to be with everyone this Sunday, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and Confirmation Sunday. It is truly a Sunday of celebration, of joy, and I believe of great hope. Though I was writing this sermon, at first, I started off with Happy Reformation Sunday, but it seems a little bit cheap, if you know what I mean, because the Reformation was anything but happy. It was a movement, of course, that ignited a call to faith, but in doing so caused many people to lose their lives. Martin Luther, in many ways, did not realize the bonfire that he was going to start with his single match. The Reformation was a free-for-all, I would say, movement of history that divided a lot of Europe and continues to divide many church bodies to today. And all of it, I would suggest, is based on one single question. Who is God? Who is God? Is God the bringer of wrath, waiting to throw you into the fires of hell if you don't get yourself in order? Or is God more than just a judge, but a divine that brings grace to a world that is desperately seeking relationship? Who is God? This is a question that many have died over, not only in the 30 Years' War and the heat of the Reformation, but in other conflicts arising hundreds of years following the initial Reformation. So what could be an easier question than to have this question be posed for our last confirmation class and have our confirmation students solve it? I think that's perfect. In all seriousness, however, these three boys stepped up to this challenging question with incredible maturity and insight. You know, when we talked about this question at length in our confirmation classes, and then I encouraged them to formulate a faith statement. This faith statement is not meant to be a be-all and end-all kind of thing, but I hope will serve as a snapshot in time to a hopefully ever-changing and growing faith. It will be something I hope that they can take with them on their life journeys and look back to in order to see where they've been. And you know, if Martin Luther were still here, I think he would wholeheartedly approve of how these young men formulated their faith on paper. To me, God is friend, a teacher, a brother, a father, a teammate, a coach, a doctor, a magician, and a part of me. God is someone I can rely on, someone who can get me through the day? One of them wrote. Another wrote, it's big for me when I'm in the wilderness, and I love it. I feel closer to Him when I'm out in the wilderness. When I'm alone and it's quiet, then I hear the breeze through the trees, and I know God is there. The book of Jeremiah states, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. This was a radical shift in thinking from current practice in the time of Jeremiah. Here, when this book was written, you have this beleaguered nation of Israel who has just been taken into exile. They've just been beaten by another foreign army. And the temple, and from what we can best tell, the Ten Commandment tablets have all been destroyed. They're all not coming back. This is a nation that Jeremiah is writing to, a nation who has felt that God has abandoned them. Yet God is willing to come back, and instead of writing down some formal covenant again on some tablets that can be lost, instead God will write it on their hearts. Here's my question. Is this truly a new concept for the nation of Israel? Or is it a rediscovering of something that was forgotten? Anna Porter Young, a professor at Duke Divinity School, writes, heart, or Hebrew lev, is a word that Jeremiah uses again and again and again, 65 times in all. This prominence highlights an important theme in Jeremiah, namely the rediscovery of embodied awareness, thoughts, disposition, choices, and actions of God's people. It seems to me, in all three of these young men this morning, the embodied awareness and connection to God was there a long time ago. And it is continuing to be rediscovered and embodied. One student wrote this, as I grow older and understand religion more, I get closer to God. More and more every day, I understand His work and notice it in people and things. So as we celebrate 500 years of Reformation, maybe what is worth celebrating is not a brand new radical discovery, but a rediscovery of something already present in each and every one of us. Another confirmation student writes, God to me is a symbol that no matter what you, your family, a friend, or a stranger do, you will be okay and loved by God. God to me is a higher power, and therefore you with and is extending His loving and opening arms to all of us. When I read this, I wonder, does rediscovering an embodied awareness of God mean that we are asking the same types of questions today? I don't think so. For what this student is describing in his faith statement is a God of relationship, a God who reaches out and connects with all of us no matter who we are. For many in Martin Luther's time, the struggle with who is God was based on salvation, was based on punishment, was based on judgment. Of course, this was the theme of last night's debate at the Harvest Dinner with Martin Luther and Lucifer, and it got pretty intense, I'll have to say. But in all honesty, Luther's agony, his entire life, and to be honest, why his theology is the way that it is, was because he was wrestling with these Dark Ages notions of, is God going to save me from hell and damnation? This question was on the minds of everybody in Luther's time. And so in our rediscovery of ourselves today, is this the same question that we're asking? I don't think so. I don't think that this is the question of our church today, or the confirmation students, the church of the future. I don't think that that's what we struggle with. Maybe in rediscovering an embodied awareness of God, we have come across some different questions for the Reformation of our day and time and place. The struggle more relevant to our confirmation students in our church and world, I believe, is not, will God save us from fire and damnation? But will God save us from ourselves? You know, many times in class, our group talked about some of the brutal realities of being in high school. I'm sure you all can remember. Bowen, Cade, and Eric each talked about struggles with fitting in or getting challenged by the way they may, what they may do or look or talk differently. Now, I remember one of them in one of the classes last year saying this. He said, you know, kids just come after you or feel like they have to make fun of you mostly because they have to puff themselves up. It doesn't have much to do with you, but mostly with them. Incredibly wise words. We live in a world where our society is constantly looking for ways to get puffed up, to feed our ego, even if that means hurting other people and creation. And Martin Luther does talk about this a little bit. He defines about what is a God. And he talks about that a God is really only what our heart is turned to, 100%. And for him, in his time, it was a battle of the heart turning completely towards either Satan or God. Well, for us, it seems to be a battle of the heart turning outwards towards God or turning completely inwards to ourselves and making ourselves God. We see this not just in high school, but nationally and internationally, healthcare, environment, disaster relief, and war, just to name a few. Who is God? Not us. This is the challenge for our church and for Cade and Bowen and Eric. Right here, right now, to proclaim a God that exists beyond ourselves. And you know what? I think that they're up to it. Cade, Bowen, and Eric, you are up for the task of proclaiming a God who is beyond each and every one of us in this world, and a God who opens God's arms no matter who you are or where you come from or what you do. It has been one of the honors of my life. I promised myself I wouldn't cry, but I'm going to do that. It has been one of the honors of my life to be and walk with you guys in this confirmation year. And to teach you some things and to walk with you. And once confirmed, I know you will be full members of this confirmation. And you know what? I hope you don't go anywhere anytime soon. Because we need you. This church needs you. We need you in this reformation of our time and place to continue to ask the relevant questions, to turn hearts outward, and to share the love and the grace of a radical God, reformed and continuing to reform. May God walk with you, Cade, Bone, and Eric, and with all of us. Amen.